Hey everyone, this is Jaron Hollis with The Believers Church. I'm so happy that you're here today. I want to thank you for tuning in and listening to this message. I pray that it inspires you, it challenges you, and it helps you grow in your relationship with God. Enjoy.
Good morning, believers. Happy Memorial Day weekend. We want to give honor to all of those that have gone on before us. And how many of you are thankful for the hope of heaven? Right? I mean, how many of you are looking forward to going someday? Really? Yep. Some days I'm more ready than others. But I told my family this weekend, I said, you know, we bought 8 burial lots total, 4 in Oklahoma. When I was traveling as an evangelist, I'm based out of Oklahoma, wanted to be buried near my family. And then when God called me to Louisville, I told the Lord, I'm going to get buried where you call me. So I gave away all my burial lots in Oklahoma because you're my family now. So I bought 4 burial lots here. We've already given away 2 of those and hope to give away the other 2 because now I'm going to be cremated. And it's true, I am. I've owned 8 burial lots. I'm going to get cremated. So much for stable decisions, right? But anyway, I'm going to get cremated. And I told my family this weekend, I said, when I get cremated, I want you to take some of the ashes, mix it with sand and put it in one of those little hourglasses that you flip over, right? That way I can still be involved on game night, right? I know, keep my day job, right? I'm not a comedian and I know it. But anyway, great to be here. I'm preaching on the kingdom again today. This is lesson 5. This will be my last lesson on the kingdom series. And I'm sad about that. I wish we could just go on and on because I don't know that we've got it. If you have not been involved in the previous 4 lessons, they do have a scan. I didn't ask them to put it up this week. If they've got it down there and they can get it up while I'm making these announcements, that would be great. Oh, there it is, right there. Get out your phones and you can pull up the other 4 lessons and possibly my notes with that. I keep telling you that I hope the notes are there. I just keep forgetting to ask Pastor Haley if she's put them up, but this will give you an idea. And probably 90% of all of that is coming out of this book right here by Dr. Miles Monroe, Preparing for the Kingdom and Kingdom Principles. I'm telling you, there's just nothing like good biblical teaching. Jesus came telling us that the kingdom was here now, that the kingdom of heaven was here now. And a lot of churches, a lot of religion only tries to prepare you for the there and then, when the only way we're going to revolutionize the world is to understand that it's here now, right? Is there anybody here that would like this as a gift? Let me see your hand if you'd like this as a gift. All right. Ready? Here we go. There we go. Good catch. Thank you so much. And I think we still have a few copies left in the coffee shop, in the cafe. If you go back there, you'll find them. And we're not trying to make money off of that. We're just trying to give you some great tools. And so with that, I'm going to start the lesson, and I'd like for you to bow your heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you right now in the name of Jesus that you will just do what only you can do, which is cut the flesh away from our ears, cut the flesh away from our eyes, that we might be able to hear, see, perceive what you are saying in the kingdom. We ask in Jesus' name that you will just anoint us all and let us walk in all of the power and authority that you have promised us in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. So I'm going to start today by reading from the Amplified Bible. The Amplified Version Bible, what you're going to see, go ahead and put the scripture up if you don't mind. What you're going to see is you're going to see something quite unusual, and you're going to see that there are, right after the word seek, it says aim at, strive after, and in parentheses, and then down below, the next line down, after righteous, you see his way of doing and being right, the attitude, the character of God. So the Amplified Version does exactly that. It takes words that are in a verse that need help. So the King James Version Bible is a word-for-word translation, one English word for one Greek, Hebrew, or Aramaic word, okay? Then there are thought-for-thought translations, which are a little easier to understand. This one tries to combine both. This is a word-for-word, but in parentheses they put what the original author, they're trying to aim at what they were thinking. So here it goes. But first and most importantly, seek, then here it is, aim at. Seek means aim at, to strive after his kingdom and all his righteousness and his righteousness. And the word righteousness means his way of doing and being right, the attitude and character of God. That's what we mean by righteousness, the attitude and character of God, his way of being right. All these things will be given to you also. So the idea is in this Kingdom First series is that if you literally focus and strive after putting the kingdom first, all of the things in life will be added to your life. And if you read that whole Matthew 6, if you'll read it, you'll understand that he's talking about that. He's talking about you don't need to worry about your life. You don't need to worry about what you're going to eat, drink, where you're going to work, what your J-O-B is going to be. God promises, it's one of his keys in the kingdom, that he's going to take care of you if your heart's right and your attitude's right and you're putting the kingdom first. Okay? The challenge here is that he doesn't leave many options for a kingdom second attitude. My ways first, my ways above his ways, what I want, what I desire, what I care about, the things I want in life, I'll put first, and then he's my backup plan. It doesn't work that way. Is that okay? All right. I'm trying to help you understand what it means to operate and literally operate in the power of the kingdom in the here and now. The kingdom is here. Jesus proved that. Jesus opened up blind eyes, raised the dead, walked on water. He's proving that the kingdom, another dimension, has come among us. And he's saying, I am the representative of that kingdom, and I'm going to show you what that kingdom looks like. And he shows that he has complete dominion and authority and power over this dimension. All right? And so I want to help you today try to break through in your mind and understand some of the mind of Christ. And so what we're trying to do here, and it's twofold, we're trying to slay a religious dragon and awaken a sleeping giant. Okay? So one of my jobs, okay, if you look at, people have all kinds of ideas about what my job description is. First of all, my job, my main job, is to perfect you for the work of the ministry. Not me. And I'll have many times throughout the year, I'll have people join the church and say, okay, we want you to be our pastor, and here's our job description of a pastor. Okay? I nearly, and I'm not joking about this, I nearly had 4 nervous breakdowns trying to live up to what people thought I should be. And I eventually said, I can't lose my life. I don't need a straitjacket, and I don't want to live in a rubber room. So I'm going to have to figure out what the Bible says my job description is and live by that no matter how many people come and go. I have to live by what God says my job description is. My job description is to perfect you for the work of the ministry. Is this okay? All right. Turn to the person next to you and say, you are a kingdom minister. In order for me to help you live a kingdom now lifestyle, I have to slay a religious dragon. Many of us are busy living out the wrong assignment. And it's not your fault. Some Sunday school teacher drew a map in your head, a truth map in your head, and said, this is what religion's all about. And, just do what the Bible says to get saved. And then once you're saved, just kind of look busy till Jesus comes. That's not, it's not about the there and then. It's about the here and now. There are a lot of people, the only Bible they're ever going to read is you. Can I say that again? The only Bible they're ever going to read is you. There are people that have never, ever, ever picked up the Word of God and read it, not even for a moment. They don't see any value at all in it. But if you come alive and begin to operate in the power of the kingdom, they're going to want to know. You walking down the street and somebody walk by and you say hi to somebody, say, oh, no, they're deaf. And you say, deaf. You say, oh, okay, hold on just a minute. Deaf ears come out and stop, and they start screaming and say, oh, my God, I can hear you. I promise you they're going to want to know what you know. They're going to be asking you, what do you believe? Where do you go to church? Okay, and I want to say it again. The only Bible that many of the people that know you are ever going to read is you. All right, so I want to say this. We've never had a kingdom problem, but we have a religion problem in America. Over 200 different denominations, and that's just main denominations. Then there's all kinds of offshoots of those denominations, right? That's where a denomination splits. And they say, okay, we're going to split because we see this a little differently, and so we're going to split. And so there's 200 different denominations in America alone, and then 35,000 different denominations around the world. Kind of reminds me of the story where a guy was trapped on an island for like 30 years and all by himself, and he finally got rescued. And when he got rescued, he was so excited. He said, well, before you take me off the island, let me give you a tour of the island. And so he's walking around, and he says, you know, this is my home. This is where I lived, and this is where I took shelter in the hurricanes and the storms and everything else. And this is the little area. This was my food, and this is what I ate. And then he tears up, and he says, and this over here, this is my church. I built this. I came here and worshiped. I prayed to God. And one of the guys was looking around, and he saw another building up on the hill, and he said, well, what's that building up there? He said, oh, that's the church I used to go to. So the question today is, how do we open the floodgates of the kingdom of God? How do we do that? We're going to talk about the keys of the kingdom is the title of this lesson. I want you to look at the New Living Translation version of the Bible, New Living Translation, and this is Matthew 16, 13 through 19. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Then he asked them, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. Everybody say revelation. He didn't get this by the power of logic and reason. He got this by revelation. The glory of God to conceal a matter. God wants to reveal everything to you, all right? But you have to be sensitive. You have to understand that some things are never going to come to you just because you've got a good mind. I've had many revelations in my life. My Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this in any from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer. Before we go any further and read verse 19, I just want to say this about this particular verse. Here it says, your name is now Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I'll build my church. So the Catholic Church, the Catholic denomination, over a billion people worldwide, say that they are the original church because Peter was their first pope. Please, don't be offended, just endure the teaching. Peter was not the first pope of Rome. He was not. I'm sorry if that hurts. If you've got a Catholic background or you are of the Catholic persuasion, I'm not trying to offend you. But that's not what Jesus was saying. Jesus wasn't saying, I'm going to build my kingdom on Peter. He's saying, I'm going to build my kingdom on Peter's revelation, which is that I am the Christ. Right? So it was never built on a man. It was always built on a revelation. Are you with me? Then he goes, and I will give you, here's the key. Here's the point. I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Everybody say keys of the kingdom. The keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. All right? I want to turn your attention to that exact same verse, verse 19. I want to turn your attention to the New American Standard Bible, another translation, and we're going to be looking at the same verse, Matthew 16, 19. Here we go. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. This is the reason I'm reading this translation, because this verse says it differently. It opens up your understanding. It says here, whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven already, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall have been loosed on heaven. So the Bible is not saying you can just run around and bind this and bind that and bind this and bind that. You have to know what the keys and the principles and the laws are of heaven. You have to know what's been bound in heaven. If you want to walk in kingdom authority, then you're going to have to become a student, and you're going to have to know heaven's already bound this, so now I have power to bring it down. Man, I wished I had time. I really do, because you need to understand that Jesus came preaching the kingdom now and demonstrating the power of the kingdom by raising the dead, healing the sick, on and on and on. And so I need you to understand what he's saying here. He's saying, when Jesus died and rose again, he said, all power is given me both in heaven and earth. Why did he make that comment? Why did he say both in heaven and in earth? Because up until he died and rose again, he did not have all the power in the earth. Satan had it. Well, where did Satan get it? It's very easy. God created Adam and Eve and gave them dominion over the whole planet. They turn around, listen to me, they turn around and gave all the dominion to Satan. That's why the earth is cursed. Just recently I had somebody say, well, I've got a friend and they won't live for God because they say God is mean. He allows people to get sick and die, and he allows people to be murdered, and he allows all this mayhem. I just stopped him and said, stop right there. God's never allowed any of that. Okay, God gave all the authority of the whole planet to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve gave it to the devil. And because the devil has it, all of this mayhem is going on and all this chaos is going on because he is the God, small g, of the world. The good news is that Jesus rose again, snatched the keys. Somebody go with me. He went down into death, hell, and the grave, grabbed the keys off of Satan, grabbed the keys and walked back out and said, now all authority, not only in heaven, but now in earth, belongs to me. And then he said something powerful. He said, go ye therefore. He threw the keys at him and said, there you go. You've got the dominion back. The problem is that religion is constantly pumping in our head that the kingdom of heaven is about there and then. You misunderstand altogether. It's not about there and then. It's about here and now. I'm thankful for the privilege that I'm going to go to there and then. But while I'm here, I need to demonstrate the kingdom. I am an ambassador for the kingdom. Let me just throw this out. Somebody said, what do you believe about gay marriage? What's your opinion? I don't have an opinion. You see, legally, as an ambassador of heaven, I'm not allowed to have an opinion. I can tell you what my king thinks. I'm getting out ahead of myself. I can tell you what my king thinks. I can tell you what his will and testament says, but I can't give you my opinion because I'm not allowed that privilege as an ambassador. Oh, that's a cop-out. No, no, no. That's the reason we have religion in America, is because people have given their opinions and said Jesus said it. It's high time we stop that foolishness. It's high... Can I just say it? Let the word of God be true and every man a liar. You want to know what kind of church you're in? You're in a fundamentalist church. What do you mean by that? What do you mean, Pastor, you're in a fundamentalist? I'm saying I believe that this is the divine word of God, and I'm saying let the word of God be true and every man a liar. Let this be the final answer. Not my opinion. Not Aunt Betty's opinion. Not Uncle Leroy's opinion. Not good old granddaddy's opinion. Let the word of God settle every issue. You with me? Okay. In 16:19 again, he says, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Is that still up there? Put it up there. Everybody say, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. What word is underlined there? I wonder why. Because I put it there. That's the Randy Hollis amplified version right there. I amplified it by putting the... I just wanted you to know it's not the keys to the kingdom. It's the keys of the kingdom. Why do you need keys to the kingdom when you're already in it? Let that sink in for just a moment. I'm not lost as to where I'm going. That's called a pregnant pause. I'm letting you think about the fact that you don't need keys to the kingdom because you're already in the kingdom. But what you need is the keys of the kingdom, and you need to know the difference for you to walk in power and authority. As kingdom citizens, we're already there. What we need are the keys of the kingdom. These keys unlock the powers of the kingdom. Citizenship in the kingdom is a prerequisite for acquiring the keys of the kingdom. See, you can't have the keys of the kingdom till you get in the kingdom. But once you get in the kingdom, you're automatically handed the keys of the kingdom. You ever see a guy walk around, a maintenance man, walk around with a great big ring full of keys? He's got more keys than Chase Bank has money, right? He's He actually limps because he's got so many keys. Every one of you have a great big ring full of keys. The keys of the kingdom. The problem is, some of you have never tried to use them. Well, I got a great big, I wish I had a ring right now. Great big, look at all those keys. Isn't that something? Isn't that impressive? Look at those keys. Isn't that something? No, no, no. You need to know how to use these keys. You see, we should have access to the power that mystifies those who are not yet in the kingdom. The keys of the kingdom equals knowledge. That should come up. Thank you. The keys of the kingdom equals knowledge. All right? There are things that he allows us to see, and the things that we see about the kingdom, actually the knowledge is actually the key that goes in the lock that turns it and unlocks the supernatural. Right? Turn to somebody and say, miracles aren't really miracles. Man, I'm way out ahead of myself. I know that. And I'm shocking you. The pastor just said that there's no such thing as miracles. No, I didn't. I said the miracles aren't really miracles. They're just the standard practice of another dimension that we bring into this dimension. And because we can't logically explain it, we call it a miracle. But it's every day over there. You see, we're to seek the kingdom first on earth as it is in heaven. You understand? In other words, you hear something from heaven, you repeat it on earth. Okay, look. He said, all power and authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. Here's the keys. The problem is that our job is to hear what heaven says, agree with heaven on earth as it is in. So we're to hear what heaven's saying and release it on the earth. Did you know you had the power to do that? You've got the power to hear. Okay. All right. I did this a couple of weeks ago. Let me do it. I'm just very quickly. Let's say I walked up to you this morning and looked at you and said, man, I had the craziest dream about you. It was from heaven. It was so powerful, I woke up speaking in tongues. That's how powerful the dream was. It was all about you, everything about it, the power, the authority. It was an amazing dream. And I woke up, and I'm talking in tongues. It took me a while to calm down. And while I'm wiping the tears out of my eyes at 3:30 this morning, the Lord speaks to me and says something about your life. I heard him praying over your life. I heard exactly what he prayed. Have a nice day. You'd be running along and say, excuse me, pastor, wait just a minute. I want to know what the dream is, and I want to know what the word was, right? So here's the dilemma. You spend all your time praying to God when you should be praying with God. You're praying to heaven when you should be praying with heaven. Everyone in this room needs to get real busy asking Jesus, what are you praying over me every day? I'm going to give you a guarantee right now. Jesus has already prayed over you today, and he's still praying over you. The problem is you don't know what he's praying, and you should know. He doesn't have a problem telling you. I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. Right? Jeremiah 29:11. I don't even have to turn there. Most of you know it. I know the plans I have for you. He already knows his plan. He already knows his design. He already knows what he wants. And he's already praying. And listen to this. He's already praying. And all of heaven is backing it. But you're making out your own little prayer list that they can't back. It's kind of like money. You can go draw a $10 bill, take it to the bank. They're not going to cash it. There's a note. A $10 note that all banks recognize, all credit unions recognize, all stores recognize, the whole country backs that. But you can take a piece of white paper, draw a 10 on it in every corner and give it a little serial number and everything, take it in there and say, you know, this is my $10 bill. No, we can't accept that. And that's what heaven's doing. The Bible says we have not because we ask not or we ask amiss. What that means is we're asking for something that heaven's not. But you want heaven to really start answering all your prayers. Ask heaven, what are you saying? Jesus, what are you praying over me? And then you take out your key and release it into the earth. It's called the power of agreement. You take out your key and you release what heaven is saying about you in the earth. And all of a sudden you start walking in the supernatural. I don't have time, but I told it at 9:15. I want to tell it again. I'm giving you a very abbreviated. If you want to know the whole story, you'll have to come to me after. But I was in a brand new church in Atlanta. My wife and I joined, and it was a nice sized church. And I went to the very first men's prayer meeting, which was at 10 on a Sunday morning because they had a 2 p.m. service. And so I went to the men's prayer meeting. I'm walking down the front, and there's a man kneeling at the front with his hands over his face like this. And he's kneeling, praying. He's resting on his elbows in the pew. And as I walked past him, the Lord said, tell that man I love his wife. And I'm not going to go into the whole story. I argued with God for a couple of minutes and said, I don't want to do that. I don't know him. But anyway, I went over and I put my hand on the man's back. And I said, God, let this man know you love his wife. I heard what God said, and I released it. God, let this man know you love his wife. When I said, let this man know you love his wife, the Holy Ghost jumped on me and liked to beat the daylights out of me. I started weeping and crying in the Holy Ghost. I got my hand on this man's back. I can hardly talk. I'm going, let him know you love his wife. Let him know you love his wife. And I'm thinking in my mind, this is the craziest prayer I think I've ever prayed. But I got up and walked away. And as I did, I turned around, looked back, and the man's racing out the door. Fast forward, the next Thursday night is a Bible study night. I walk in the outside door, and standing in the doorway of the sanctuary is this man going like this. So I walked over to him. And he poked me in the chest, said, you didn't know, did you? I said, no, I still don't know. He said, I know you didn't know. My pastor knew, I knew, my wife knew. You didn't know, did you? I said, yeah, I don't know. I still, you know, I have no idea what you're talking about. He goes, my wife was ate up with cancer in both breasts. On Monday, they were going to remove both breasts. The plastic surgeon said there was so much material to remove that he hired two other plastic surgeons to work with him. And so they showed up on that Monday morning after I prayed. They showed up on Monday morning. I had no idea. Listen, I'm not bragging. All I did was tell the guy that Jesus loved him, loved his wife. Okay? But that was the message from heaven, and I was in agreement, and it unlocked something. Are you with me? The doctor came out and said, you know, I've hired two other plastic surgeons. They're not happy with the x-rays. Let me do a new set of x-rays. I'll bring her back out. She can sit with you. And then once we've reviewed all the x-rays and our game plan, still going to take 4 to 6 hours for the surgery, we'll come get your wife. So anyway, Dale Hinton went home and told his wife, said, you've been healed in Jesus' name. The man prayed with me at church this morning, and you've been healed in Jesus' name. They went on Monday morning, took her back, did the second set of x-rays. The doctor came out shaking. He showed him the first set of x-rays, cancer all over the x-ray. Showed him the second set. There wasn't one spot of cancer anywhere in him. Okay. So, who is the new miracle worker coming to our church? The guy that runs around with funny messages and says, the Lord loves your wife. Who is that nut job? Because he was right. Has nothing to do with me being right. Has nothing to do with me being powerful. Has nothing to do with me being anointed. I heard what heaven was saying, and I simply repeated it in this dimension. I hope somebody's getting the message this morning. Your walk with God has been just slightly like this. You're about to do this. The afterburners are about to come on, and you're about to do this. All you need to do is get busy and start saying, what are you saying about me, Jesus? What are you saying? So everybody say, the keys are knowledge. This is what Believers University is all about, digging deep into the Word of God, ripping through hard to understand things and making it practical. So we have a 2-year study right here at this church. We do it at cost every year. We have our first set of graduates coming up in about 2 to 3 weeks. We're going to graduate about 20 to 30 that are graduating with a Bible college degree. And every one of them are saying the same thing. This was radical. It changed my life. We got a fall semester coming up. I would highly advise you to get involved. We're supposed to be living a lifestyle at a certain level where we are tapping into resources that most people cannot explain. Who are we is the question. All right, you ready for a little history lesson? Jesus chose the Greek word for church. He chose the word ecclesia. All right? The Greek word for church is ecclesia. Jesus chose that word. I want you to understand that when he chose the word ecclesia, that was a radical shift in the Hebrew culture. They had never used the word ecclesia before, the Greek word ecclesia, for the church. Now we look back and say, oh, ecclesia, that means church. No, it means so much more than that. Ecclesia is a government term and not a religious term. The Greeks used it to refer to the Senate. Everybody say the Senate. Now turn to your neighbor and say, you're a senator. Here's what you must understand. Jesus was creating a radical shift. I've said I hope I said it earlier, that we've come to slay a religious dragon and wake a sleeping giant. You're the sleeping giant. Okay, I'm trying to get you to understand how heaven works and bring it, because you have the power to bring it. You see, when Rome overran the Greek Empire, they adopted Greek thought, Greek philosophy, and including the idea of Greek democracy. Rome took off once they developed a Senate. So here it is. To Rome, the ecclesia was the Senate. These individuals were handpicked by the emperor. Everybody say emperor. Why don't you also say king, so you understand? Okay, their job was to take the king's thoughts, the king's desires, the king's intent, and turn them into legislation that could be implemented into the kingdom, hear me, for the benefit of the subjects of the kingdom. So the will of God is only in the head of God. Jesus Christ picked 12 Senate members, gave them all the principles, all the keys to the kingdom, demonstrated it, raised the dead, walked on water, calmed storms. You with me? And he got this Senate and he said, here's my desires, here's my wishes, here's what I want you to do. I want you to write it out, make it plain, make me a new constitution. This is called the New Will and Testament. The New Testament is the new will. You see, as long as it's only in the mind of God, it's the will. But once the mind of God has been written on paper, once the principles, the plans, the keys, the secrets have been released, it's now the Constitution. If you want to know as a Christian what your Constitution is, it's not we the people, it's I the Lord saith. Because you don't belong here, you belong to another kingdom. Are you with me? You understand? Okay, so all the power and authority you will ever need is found in the Constitution. I thank God for the Constitution of America. I really do. I do love the We the People Constitution of America. I know what my rights and privileges are. I've got a right to say my mind, right? And up until the last few years, not be censored, right? Freedom of speech. The right to bear arms. There are rights that the government would, listen, trust me, the government would love to take away my guns. Yeah, I am a gun owner. Took me a number of years to get them. I didn't do it at first because my younger stepbrother was murdered, shot through the heart with a .44 Magnum. So for many years, I didn't own a gun. I own guns now. I don't plan on giving them up. What do I do? Well, if they say you need to give us your guns, you know, you need to turn in your guns, I'm going to wave the Constitution. Say, no, I have rights as an American citizen. Right? Are you with me? You following? I just need you to say, yes, I'm following. I'm standing between you and lunch. Just say, yes, I'm following. Thank you. You see, Jesus used the term ecclesia, not a Hebrew idea or term. Jesus was making a radical shift as a rabbi. When he used ecclesia, he tells us two things. First, the word church itself is a political word and not a religious word. He came to establish a kingdom and not a religion. That's why he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Right? You must understand that the New Testament is not a religious book. It is a political book. Secondly, the entire discussion about the keys of the kingdom, about binding and loosing, is not a religious discussion. It's also, binding and loosing is a political discussion. It's the power and the authority you have. Just like we have laws in America that put people in jail and appeals and different things that they can make in the system to get them out, right? So you have the same power to bind and loose. Whatever's been bound in heaven, you have automatic power. If you see that it was bound in heaven, you have automatic power to bind it on earth. If you see that it was loosed in heaven, okay? Anybody here besides me have glasses? Raise your hand, wave them at me if you've got glasses. All right? Are any of your glasses as dirty as mine? Mine are like I need to clean my glasses. Okay. How many of you believe you're going to be wearing glasses in heaven? You're not. There was a revival one time. True story, an evangelist was preaching. He said, I rebuke every one of you that's wearing glasses. He said, bring them right down here on the altar right now. And the people came down and laid their glasses out on the altar. That guy jumped up on the altar and said, and he stomped all those glasses till they were bent and broken. People were leaving like this. He learned a real hard lesson. He learned a real hard lesson. You better not do something like that unless heaven tells you to. But if heaven tells you to, don't be afraid. Because there will not be any glasses in heaven. Forgive me if I offend you, and if it was your spouse or loved one, parent that was laying in the casket, I'm sorry. But I went to within the last 3 or 4 years, I went to a funeral, and in the casket, the guy was laying with his glasses on. I'm sorry. I walked in there trying to be respectful and thoughtful and everything. I looked down, saw those glasses. I almost burst out laughing. I'm like, hold up. I don't know who you are, but he's not going to need them over there. He's in another dimension altogether. Never need readers again. No more stigmatism, right? You have to understand, is anybody going to have cancer in heaven?
No.
Okay. Do you have the right? Do you have the right to set somebody free from cancer? Are you listening? You hear the thunder? Okay. Something's rolling in the heavenlies. Just think about it for a moment. Something's rolling in the heavenlies. If there's never going to be cancer in heaven, then you have every right to demand it to leave somebody's body here. You got the right. Wait. As a Senate member, you've got a right. Right? As being on the inner circle, he handpicked you. You didn't pick Jesus. He picked you. So as a Senate member, you've got a right to do these things, right? Let's pray right now. I rebuke the storm in Jesus' name. I command in Jesus' name that we make it through this service with lights and air. And in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Okay. Now, I didn't hear that from heaven. I'm trying to teach you something. I didn't hear that, but that's my desire. But I'm praying right now in Jesus' name that that's his desire as well. Right? The lights may flicker, but they're never going out in Jesus' name. Right? Okay. Just stay with me. Somebody say, hurry, Pastor. No, we're not going to let a circumstance cause us to get rushed. So upon this rock, your confession of who I am, I will build my government, my Senate, my cabinet, my administration, the chosen ones who will carry out my wishes and my will. That's going to be the job. They took his thoughts, they took his desires, they took his wishes, and it became our New Testament or our new Constitution. That's what this is. It's your rights, it's your privileges in the kingdom of God. You must know them. If you want to use the keys, you've already got them, right? They're not keys to the kingdom, you're already in the kingdom. They're keys of the kingdom. Some of you are walking around with great big key rings like this and never used a one of them. And God wants you to use them. Understand also that the ecclesia, the Senate, whom you are, holds highly classified information. What do I mean by that? Look at Luke 8:10. He replied, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of God. Number one, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of God. Not everybody's permitted, all right? You are. All right, but I use parables to teach the others so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. When they look, they won't really see, and when they hear, they won't really understand. So permitted means to consent, to give permission, to allow. The keys of the kingdom are not physical. They are not open to physical locks. The keys are kingdom principles. They are systems that operate under fixed laws. Everybody say fixed laws. Everybody say he's not talking about Levitical law. Everybody say he's not talking about Old Testament legalism. But there are physical laws, just like there is a law in the natural that if I step off the stage, I'm going to fall. I didn't float. I didn't stay elevated. I went down, right? Okay? So you need to understand right here, right now, that is always in play. You can bank on the law of gravity. Is that a legalistic thing? No. It's a principle. It's an idea.
Thank you. Testing 1, 2. Testing 1, 2. Everybody get that? Listen.
You need to understand. But I need you to understand right here, right now, is the very circumstance we're in right now is also in the kingdom because we are of the kingdom.
You have every right to stand up, put your hand in the air, and say, peace, be still. You've got a right to talk to the storm. You've got a right in the name of Jesus to practice authority. Oh, that's cute. No. You don't understand who you are. You're a chosen, elect priesthood, Senate. Don't you dare. I started laughing. My watch was going off. I was feeling it all over, you know, that the little alarm going off. And, yeah, the devil would love for us to shut up about the kingdom. Did you know that the devil knows how to turn on the religious alarms? I can start talking about the kingdom and people will shut me out in a hurry because they were raised in a religious church. They don't understand the kingdom of God. They don't understand kingdom principles. Okay, remember, it's on earth as it is in heaven. This is the lifestyle we must learn to live. We must understand the secrets of the kingdom. Those are keys because this was revealed to the original 12, the ecclesia group. They held so much kingdom power that the gates of hell never stood a chance against the original 12 because they understood that Jesus established a kingdom and gave them the power. Are you with me? I want to say one more thing. The latter church is going to be greater than the former church. I need to say it again. I'm not here trying to have church. I'm trying to build an army. All right? I'm trying to slay some things so that we can start operating in the power. Look, can I just make a declaration? The power of God is coming. People will be raised from the dead. Blind eyes will be open. I'm telling you, people are going to get out of wheelchairs. I'm telling you right now it's going to happen. You need to understand. The Bible says, can I just tell you this? I want to raise the dead. I want to heal the sick. I want to open blind eyes. If Jesus did it, I want to do it. Can I go one step further? I want to do more than Jesus did. Oh, I know. I could hear it. Ooh. Who does he think he is? It doesn't have anything to do. I'm just accepting what he said. I'm taking one of the keys and sticking it at law. What key is it? Greater things shall ye do. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? It's not blasphemy for me to hold him. Look, your constitution says that I'll do greater things than you did. So it's not ambition. It's not pride. It's not any. It's the fact that I care as your child. I care about a lost and dying world. And somebody needs to stand up and start acting like they are who the Bible says they are. You said I would do greater things. I'm going to stand on it in the name of Jesus. I'm going to declare it in the name of Jesus. Is there anybody in this room right here? Let me ask it this way. Is there any young person in this room that would like to do more miracles than Jesus did? Come here. Come here. I don't know who you are, but you come here. Come here. Give me your name.
Farah.
Yes.
Okay, this is Farah, everybody. She says she wants to do more miracles than Jesus Christ. Okay. I think we ought to be in agreement with her. The Bible says that we agree as touching anything, it shall be done. Are you listening to me? You say, oh man, you're out there in the wacko land. No, I'm not. It's just that you've never heard it like this, so you don't know what to do. I'm going to tell you what to do right now. The Bible says greater things. So you've got the power to stand up, point your hands at Pharaoh, and say, in the name of Jesus, according to your constitution, let Pharaoh present, let miracle signs. Are you ready, Pharaoh? In the name of Jesus, according to your constitution, I stand here as one of your senators, and I declare that greater things shall Pharaoh do than was done in the Bible. In the name of Jesus, we pray right now more miracles, more signs, more wonders, more healings, more deliverances, more dead raised in the name of Jesus. Everybody say amen. Thank you for coming up, Pharaoh. I appreciate that. I can feel the tension right here, right now. I feel it in the air. People are like, man, he's trying to hype us. He's trying to jack us up. No, I'm just trying to get you to come to your senses and understand that he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he made you a king. What do you think King of Kings means? You're not only in the Senate, you're a king. Keys have to be learned. A miracle is something a human cannot explain. The 12, the Senate, saw Jesus walk on water, heal the sick, raise the dead, shrivel a tree by speaking to it, calm a storm, multiply bread. All of these events were beyond the kin of the human experience. Now, what do I mean by the word kin, K-E-N? Kin means beyond the knowledge, the awareness, the perception, the understanding, or the grasp of humanity. Jesus simply was doing things outside of our dimension that looked like miracles to us. We laugh because the pagans and the heathens all throughout the centuries prayed to the sun god and to the moon god, and they made all these sacrifices and all that stuff. And we laugh about that. But we need to understand that we're just almost as superstitious as they were. Let a true bona fide miracle happen, and we go, oh, a miracle. Did you know Jesus was not in the miracle business? Can I just challenge you in your thinking? Jesus didn't do miracles. Uh-oh. Did you hear what Pastor said? Jesus didn't do miracles? No. Jesus just took heavenly keys and unlocked locks. It looked like miracles to us. He was just putting on display what his kingdom was all about and what it was like. So it's easy for us to go, ooh, miracle. I'll never be like that. No, no, no. You must understand this Constitution. You must understand this document. This document promises that you will do greater things, but you must understand the keys. The feeding of the 5,000. They ran to Jesus and said, we got 5,000 men here plus women and children, about 20,000 people. They're all hungry. Walmart's miles away. What are we going to do? He says, what do we have? They said, we got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Jesus said, bring them unto me. They brought it to him. He began to tear it. It began to multiply supernaturally. The miracle feeding of 5,000 men plus women and children, about 20,000. The miracle feeding, right? The disciples are blown away. They don't know what to think. They're like, oh my goodness, how could this possibly be? But listen to the disciples' response when Jesus said, what do we have? They said, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, but what's that among us? You know, who's that going to feed? And then one of them spoke up and said, Jesus, we'd have to work 8 months. It's going to take 8 months' wages to feed. If all 12 of us left and went to work, that's our mindset. We immediately come back to our environment, our dimension, and say, according to the rules of our dimension, it's going to take this long. Can I just tell you something that may shock you? We had a really good crowd, 9:15, just almost completely packed, and we've got, I don't know how many families out for Memorial Weekend. That's all well and good. People need to take off. I get it. All right? But we need to be in a new building. How many of you understand that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one that owns everything, both in heaven and in earth, could have us in a brand new building next week? I'm not saying I know where that building is. I'm not trying to warm you up for that. I'm just saying that God's not up there wringing his hands wondering, but you know what? In my mind, and I'm guilty. I have to make a confession here. I'm guilty. Well, if we were going to move into a building that would seat about 2,000, we're going to need an income coming in of about $30,000 a week to make that happen. Okay? I'm just like the disciples. I go to work and work 8 months. He said, no, just give it to me. Jesus, we need a new building. We give it to you. Okay? What did Jesus do? He started multiplying. They took up 12 baskets full. He's trying to explain the principles of the kingdom. Okay? He's saying, if you'll give it to me, what happened? When they handed him the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, it went from the dimension of never enough to the dimension of more than enough. Can I help you? You're to be living from the realm of more than enough. You're not fighting for the favor of God. You're fighting from the favor of God. You're not fighting for the blessings of God. You're fighting from the blessings of God. Are you with me? Are you hearing this teaching? Is there anybody here that understands that you've got every right to take this Constitution as a subject of heaven, as a senator from heaven? You've got every right to take this document and hold the King of Kings responsible for his word. I know it's quiet. Wow. Some of you think I'm being disrespectful. I'm not. I'm not. Jesus is up there right now going, go, Randy, go. Go, Randy, go. Randy, don't you let religion take all of those people out. You teach them about my kingdom. You teach them. You shatter the fallacy of religion in America, and you start giving them my pure, unadulterated kingdom, and you watch what I do in their lives. I'm going to tell you something. God is up there clapping his hands and cheering me on because I believe him at his word. I believe God can never lie. I believe God can never fail. I don't believe that God is teasing us. I believe that God will back up his word, and that does something. That's called faith, ladies and gentlemen. It's called faith. I pray and believe that I receive. According to your constitution, by your stripes we are healed. And then in the New Testament constitution, we see where you died and rose again, which means that what it says about by your stripes we are healed, you took the stripes. That means our healing is here. So at your word, at your prophecy, and at the actual event a couple of thousand years later, we're standing here saying you have to heal this person. Because number one, they won't be sick in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. That's number one. Number two, you took the stripes. Therefore, disease has no right in this body. It's a trespass. Is there anybody here that's got a disease right now? Anybody? Okay. I want you to come forward. I see a lady back here. Would you come forward? I don't mean to embarrass you, but please come. Please come. Bring somebody with you if you need to. All right. Come on. I'll take more than one. Get ready. Now, here's the difference. I want you to understand the difference. God did not speak to me and say, call these individuals up. I need you to hear what I'm saying. He did not speak to me and say, call these individuals up. I'm strictly acting on the fact that Isaiah prophesied that by the stripes of Jesus, these people would be healed. Not could be, not should be. They would be. They are. It's already a done deal. It's a done deal. Not one of these people standing in front of me is going to have whatever malady they've got right now. They're not going to have it in heaven. I need your help, Farrah. Come on. I need you to stand right behind this man. Okay, when I tell you to, I want you to put your hand on him and say, you are healed as you will be in heaven. You are healed now in Jesus' name. Okay. Now, some people, they say, man, I've heard you pray with all kinds of authority. No, it's not my authority. You understand? Can I just give you a good old Oklahoma terminology? What's going on in heaven when I lay hands on people and say, I command for you to be healed in Jesus' name? Jesus is up there slapping his leg going, look at that little fart from Oklahoma. Look at that kid. He's taking me at my word. He's holding me to my constitution, and I love it. Okay? Here it is. I've got to have the right motive. I love every one of these people. I'm not doing this to impress you. I'm not. I don't want any of you to think for even a moment that I healed them. But I turned the key that brought their healing. I'm looking as a senator. I'm looking. Are you with me? As a senator, I'm looking, right? Up into heaven and saying, she will not have that disease. He will not have his malady. He will not have his dilemma. He will not. He will not. All right? None of them will have it in heaven. That's my first on earth as it is in heaven. So it's already been bound in heaven. It won't be there. Somebody help me. Somebody help me. It's already been. It's a done deal. No. There you go. There you go. And that's not just the anointing of the Holy Ghost. That's the healing power of the Almighty God. I command in Jesus' name for you to be healed. I command for you to receive it in Jesus' name by the authority of the Word of God. Go ahead, Pharaoh. Start laying hands on people. Anybody else want to come in and get on the action? Anybody else want to walk up and put a hand on somebody's back and act like the senator that God calls you to be? Would you do that right now? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command everything to go. All of the imbalance in the body, all the pain, I command it to go in the name of Jesus. Come on, put your hand out there. If it's the very first time you've ever prayed, just say, on earth as it is in heaven right now. Say, let him have his heavenly health right now. Let her have her health, heavenly health right in the name of Jesus. I command it to go. You cannot stay in this body. You're trespassing. You're trespassing. You're trespassing. You're trespassing. Sickness, I command you to go. Sickness, I command you to go. Sickness, I command you to go. You're trespassing. You're trespassing. You're trespassing. You're trespassing. How many of you know? Just stay right where you're at. You guys can keep praying. How many of you out there know that from the very moment that Jesus Christ took the stripes on his back, every disease on the planet has been operating illegally and trespassing? The only way that people can get sick is if they agree with the devil that they're sick. I want every one of you that came down here for prayer to say, I am healed and I hold you to it, God. Come on, you have to say it. I am healed and I hold you to it, God. I am healed and I hold you to it in the name of Jesus. I declare it right now. Please raise your hands one more time toward the front. I'm not going to get the rest of my message done, and I know that. Not because of a stupid storm, but because we have people to baptize. Say right now out loud, God is forever settled. The promise was issued thousands of years ago. You fulfilled the promise almost 2,000 years ago. And by your stripes, all these people are healed in Jesus' name. There you go. There you go. There you go. There you go. He just felt a jolt from heaven. I promise you, that's not emotionalism. He just felt a witness from heaven. And I'm going to tell you, everybody that walked up here, you got every right to put your fist in the air and say, devil, you're a liar. You don't own me. You don't have a right to trespass in my body. I've got a right to walk in divine healing on earth as it is in heaven, in Jesus' name. Raise your hands and just begin. There's something being released here. There really is. If you can't feel it back there, I apologize. You might not be able to feel what I'm feeling on the stage. But right now, there is a supernatural anointing coming down. And God is ready to equip a great number of people to walk in the authority of heaven. It's long overdue. God has been waiting on you for quite some time just to be who he designed you to be. I come against every fear that's going to try to overtake you. I come against every storm that's going to try to get in your way. I come against every distraction. I want you to focus on the promises and the privileges of heaven. Almighty God, we pray right now in Jesus' name. Sweetheart, I don't know your name. Look up here. I don't know your name. Would you come here? What's your name?
Riley.
Riley? Riley, I want to make you a promise as a senator from heaven that if you'll read the Constitution and you'll start saying in your heart, this is for me, this is my destiny, this is the promises of God, I'm going to promise you that God's going to turn your life into an adventure. And it's going to be a wild ride. And I want there to be a land. Look, there's got to be a time, ladies and listen to me very carefully. There's got to be a time, ladies and gentlemen, where we stop preaching logic and reason and we start having impartation. Where we start having God encounters. You see, faith is not for faith's sake. Faith is to lead you to an encounter. So in the name of Jesus, God, I want you to manifest your presence and your power upon Riley. God, I pray right now, and I loose her to walk in her. I loose her to walk in her calling, in her anointing, in her blessing in the name of Jesus. God, I didn't call her name. I didn't call her forward to embarrass her. I called her to lift her to another dimension. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now. God, let this girl walk in power gifts. Let her move in the supernatural. It may be a mystery to everyone around Riley, but to her, she'll just know it's in my constitution. It's what I have been promised. In Jesus' name. I'd like for the rest of you to stand to your feet now and raise your hands, and I want you to raise them like this. Not like this, but form a funnel. I want you to raise your voice right now and say, Jesus, I'm ready for my calling. I'm ready for my anointing. I'm ready to accept in an official capacity everything your word says about me and the life that I'm living. I pledge myself to walk in the supernatural and not think it blasphemy. I know, as I hear from heaven, that I have a right to release it here on earth. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody say amen.